is the disagreeable things that happens to a person, which have been preordained or pre-decreed. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded his grandson Al-Hasan ibn Ali to make supplication to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, that he should protect him from the evil of whatever he has ordained, and that he should make his ordainment good for him, and not make him from those people who are struck by preordainment and pre-decree, and who become vexed, and who become angry, and so therefore they attain sin. They become struck, asked not to be made from those people who are struck by the preordainment and pre-decree, and because of it, they become vexed, become exasperated and vexed, and become angry, and therefore they attain sin. He said, so it is a supplication to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, that He should protect him from the evil of the preordainment and pre-decree, such that He aids him upon as-sabr, upon having patience, and upon bearing troubles, and upon being pleased and satisfied with the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. I mean, that's what this supplication automatically includes. That he's asking that Allah saves him from being from those people who become angry and therefore attain sin, and it includes he's asking Allah to protect him from the evil of the preordainment and pre-decree by Allah's aiding him upon sabr, patience, and upon tahammul, bearing any trouble, and upon ar-riba, pleased and satisfied with the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. In other words, the Shaykh has explained what it means, what this means, save me from the evil that was your decree. This is the meaning. Then he said, so therefore, that will be good for him in its end and in its final outcome. Because Allah does not ordain and pre-decree upon the mu'min, upon the believer, except that which is good for him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan gives a proof for this. Whatever is decreed for the believer is something good for him. He said, giving the evidence, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in asabathu sarra'a shakara alayha fa kana dhalika khayran wa in asabathu darra'a sabara alayha wa kana dhalika khayran lahu. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. According to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regard to the believer, that if something pleasing befalls him, something pleasing happens to him, then he gives thanks for it, and that is good for him. And if a calamity befalls him, then he has patience, he has sabr upon it, and that is good for him. And that is not the case except for the believer, except for the mu'min. In a footnote they mention, this occurs in a hadith of Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, which is reported by Imam Ahmad and also reported by Muslim. And its beginning, they say, the beginning of the hadith is Ajaban li amr al-mu'min. The Prophet ﷺ began this hadith by saying, how amazing is the affair of the believer. And then the rest of the hadith. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the witness from this hadith, the witness from the hadith is, he's saying, شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتْ. And protect me from the evil of that which you have decreed. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it indicates that a sharr, evil, enters within the preordainment and pre-decree. It enters within, it's not something outside, but something that escapes pre-decree, something that's not decreed or not said. This wording indicates that evil enters within the preordainment and pre-decree. And it indicates that it is desirable and legislated for a person that he should make dua, he should make supplication to Allah that he protects him from the evil of the preordainment and pre-decree. And that he does not make it a cause for him to become misguided and for him to become vexed and angry and to have dislike for the ordainment of Allah and his pre-decree. So that he does not make it a cause for him to become wretched, but rather he makes it a cause for his being from the fortunate ones. And that's what he's making dua for in the supplication like this. Allah doesn't make that what occurs to him from the pre-decree, doesn't make it a cause for him to become wretched, because he becomes angry with it and vexed with it and so on. Rather, that Allah makes it for him a cause for his being from the fortunate ones. And then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he continues, وَلَا نَجْعَلُ قَضَاءَ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرَهُ حُجَّةً لَنَا فِي تَرْكِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِيهِ. He said, and we do not make the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah an excuse for ourselves for leaving off His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. He was finding a way around His prohibitions, doing what He's prohibited. And we do not make the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah an excuse for ourselves for leaving off His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. Sheikh al-Fawzan said in explanation, this is a tremendous matter connected to the preordainment and the pre-decree. And this particular issue here is a very important issue on its own, not being of course connected to the pre-decree. And he goes on to explain it. He said, the author rahimahullah says, and we do not make the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah an excuse for ourselves for leaving off His commands and avoiding His prohibitions, Shaykh al-Fawzan said. So if a person commits a sin or a mistake occurs from him, that he does not repent to Allah and he does not acknowledge his sin. Rather, instead he says, this is preordainment and pre-decree. This is not permissible. So Shaykh al-Fawzan here has explained that this has been made by the Imam here. This is what the believer does not do. He doesn't do this, that when a sin occurs from the person, or a mistake occurs from him, then he doesn't do what he should do, he doesn't return in repentance to Allah. He doesn't acknowledge that he's committed a sin, rather he just says, this is preordainment and pre-decree. Shaykh said, this is not permissible to do this. He said, what is obligatory upon the believer when an act of disobedience occurs from him is that he turns in repentance to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So the preordainment and pre-decree cannot be used as a proof for committing sins. Well, the same point that Shaykh is making in different wording here. The believer should not be a person who commits a sin. If he's pulled up about it, or he says, oh, it just happened by the pre-decree of Allah. I mean, it's nothing, not my fault. Allah pre-decreed I do the sin, so therefore I did the sin, it's not my fault. The believer should not be like that. He said, so the preordainment and pre-decree cannot be used as a proof for committing sins. Rather, it is only to be used as a proof for calamities, which the person has no choice about. So he ascribes them to preordainment and pre-decree so that he can have patience upon them. And if a calamity strikes the person, then he can say, this was by the preordainment of Allah. And I didn't, the calamity hit me, Allah preordained that upon me. Therefore, he can have patience upon it. He realizes where it's from, he has patience upon it. That's okay. That's where you say is preordainment and pre-decree, a calamity that strikes you. He said, however, al-ma'asi, with regard to sins, he has a choice. And he has, with regard to them, ability and will and action So they are his actions. And they are his earning. They are things which he has earned. And they are done by his choice. So he should indeed blame himself. And he should place responsibility for the sin upon himself. And he should repent to Allah. He should turn in repentance to Allah, the one free of all imperfections. Then he gives an example of this. He gives a proof for this. He said, the two forefathers, Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam, they both said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 23. And obviously the word, as it occurs in this Egyptian edition, at the start of the ayah it's got the word "ala." That is indeed from the ayah, it's not so much a mistake. It doesn't occur in the Saudi edition. It just has "ala" as a saying that the Shaykh said, the two of them said. So either way, Allah, it's not a big problem. But just in the Saudi edition, it doesn't have that word that is from the ayah quoted. So he said, the two forefathers, Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam, they said, the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 23, with the explanation, O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, then we will certainly be from the losers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and in the other ayah, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd surah, ayah 37, with the explanation. So Adam learned from his Lord some words of repentance, and he accepted his repentance. Indeed, he, Allah, is the one who accepts repentance again and again, the one who bestows mercy. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, commenting, so the two forefathers, they did not say, Oh, our Lord, this was your preordainment and your pre-decree. And what happened, what they did? They didn't just say, oh Allah, this is your preordainment, your pre-decree. Rather they said, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا They said, O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. Shaykh Razan said, meaning they admitted it. They acknowledged it, they admitted it. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ The continuation of the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf. And if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, then we will certainly be from the losers. In other words, they acknowledged what they had done, and they did not say, oh Allah, it's your pre-decree, you preordained it upon us. But they didn't say, they didn't put it like that. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the prophets were likewise, the Anbiya, the prophets were likewise. Everyone from whom some violations were seen, then he turned back to Allah, and he repented to Allah, and he sought the forgiveness of his Lord, the Mighty and Majestic. So Allah accepted his repentance. And this is even more applicable to others. Even more so. And if this is how the prophets were, then how about people who are not prophets? I mean, people who have plenty of sins and the like, even more so that they should behave like this. He said, so the Muslim should not ascribe his sins and his acts of disobedience to the preordainment and pre-decree. Even though they do occur by the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. However, he himself acted with regard to them. He himself had choice with regard to them. And he undertook them. If he wished, he could have left them, since he was not compelled to do them. And he was not forced against his will to commit them. So therefore, he should hold himself responsible for the mistake and repent to Allah and ask for his forgiveness. And Allah forgives those who repent to him and he pardons them. This is the stance of the Muslim with regard to sins and acts of disobedience, that he holds himself responsible and that he repents to Allah from them, and that he asks for Allah's forgiveness for them. Instead of saying, this was preordainment and pre-decree. I mean, in other words, he doesn't hold himself responsible at all. He said, well, Allah's pre-decreed that I would commit those sins, so this is just pre-decree. That's what happens, pre-decree. No, the believer doesn't do that. He said, instead of saying, well, this is preordainment and pre-decree, and using the preordainment and pre-decree as an argument to commit sins, and to excuse himself with that, and that he does not repent to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. I mean, that is not the way of the believer at all. He said, oh, it's just pre-decree my sins, I'm not responsible, I'm not to blame. Allah pre-decreed them upon me, that's why it happened. I don't need to repent, it's not my fault. The believer does not do that. He doesn't blame pre-decree. Then the saying of the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, continues, بَلْ يَجِبُ أَنْ نُؤْمِنَ وَنَعْلَمَ أَنَّ لِلَّهِ There's a printing mistake there in the Egyptian edition. It shouldn't be that alif. It should be just the lam and a lam and a ha. بَلْ يَجِبُ أَنْ نُؤْمِنَ وَنَعْلَمَ أَنَّ لِلَّهِ عَلَيْنَا الْحُجَّةِ بِإِنْزَالِ الْكُتُبِ وَبَعْثَةِ الرُّسُلِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ The ayah from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, ayah 165, with the explanation. Rather, it is obligatory that we believe and that we know that Allah has established proof upon us by the sending of the books, by the sending down of the books, and by the sending of the messengers. Allah the Most High said, and he quotes the ayah from Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, ayah 165, the explanation, so that there should not be any excuse for the people with Allah after the sending of the messengers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, having mentioned those whom he mentioned of the messengers in his saying, in this ayah, Shaykh al-Fawzan here is mentioning the context of this ayah. What came before this ayah? And then Shaykh al-Fawzan gives, Allah the Most High mentioned a number of messengers, and then he quotes that, and then he mentioned this ayah at the end of it all. So Shaykh al-Fawzan gives all of these ayahs, he said, in his saying, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَعِيسَى وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُونُسَ وَهَارُونَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ وكلم الله موسى تكليما رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما سورة النساء the fourth surah ayahs 163, 164 and 165 with the explanation we have indeed sent revelation to you O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as we sent revelation to Nuh and the prophets who came after him. And we sent revelation to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and the tribes, and to Isa and Ayyub and Yunus and Harun and Sulaiman. And we gave the Zabur to Dawood. And there are messengers whose stories we have related to you before, and there are messengers whom we have not narrated their stories to you, And Allah spoke directly to Musa. Allah sent messengers as bringers of glad tidings and as warners. Then the ayah of the text comes, the part of the ayah from the text comes. Allah sent the messengers as bringers of glad tidings and as warners, so that there should not be any excuse for the people with Allah after the sending of the messengers. And Allah is the Almighty, and Allah always has been and always will be the Almighty, the All-Wise. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, commenting, so he then mentioned the wisdom in the sending of the messengers and in the sending down of the books, which is to cut off any excuse for the people, so that they cannot use an argument and say, O our Lord, no one came to forbid us, to warn us against sins, to explain to us what good is and what evil is, and what guidance is and what misguidance is. We have no knowledge. We need to cut this argument off. The messengers were sent to stop this argument. They won't have, people will not have this argument after the sending of the messengers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Allah sent down the books and sent the messengers to make clear to the servants obedience or disobedience, and kufr, unbelief, from iman, from true faith, and al-khayr, good, from ash-shar, from evil. Since he would not punish them before sending a messenger to them and making the affair clear to them. And he quotes the ayah, which is a proof of that. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, ayah 15. With the explanation, and we would not punish until we send a messenger. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the proof of Allah upon His creation, He the Perfect and Most High. And he quotes a further ayah, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 6. With the explanation, so we shall certainly question those to whom the messengers were sent, and we will certainly question the messengers who were sent. And Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes another ayah, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ قَالُوا لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ The ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, ayah 109, with the explanation, on that day when Allah will gather the messengers, and He will say, what answer did your people give to you? They will say, we have no knowledge except that which you taught us. Indeed, you are the great knower of the affairs of the hidden and the unseen. As usual, the explanation being based upon what occurs in Tafsir of At-Tabari. Tafsir of Ibn Jarir At-Tabari. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah sent the messengers to cut off the argument for the people. He said they shouldn't have an argument to make. No excuse, no argument to make. He said Allah sent the messengers to cut off the argument from the people, so that they cannot use the argument on the day of resurrection that no one came to them to make things clear to them. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains how this point is relevant here. He said, so if using preordainment and pre-decree were correct, using preordainment and pre-decree as an argument were correct, then this would run contrary to his saying, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ Surah Al-Nisa, 4th surah, ayah 165, the ayah of the text here, with the explanation, so that there should not remain any excuse for the people with Allah after the sending of the messengers. In other words, Shaykh al-Fawzan is making the point here that if it were correct for people to say, I committed this sin, or I was an unbeliever because, or I did this because I didn't respond to the message, because of what? Because of pre-decree and preordainment. Because all this was preordained upon me. If that were correct, Sheikh is saying, then there'd be a contradiction here. Because there would be an argument left for the people. Whereas this ayah from Surah An-Nisa shows that Allah the Most High has finished the people's argument. He stopped the people having any argument or any plea for all of that. Said, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرَّسُولِ Surah An-Nisa, for Surah Ayah 165, the explanation. So that there should not remain, or so that there should not be any excuse for the people with Allah after the sending of the messengers. Then Shaykh Rozan said, so this shows that there is no argument to make with Allah, neither with regard to preordainment and pre-decree, nor with regard to anything else. Since Allah has explained to them and made clear to them and has ordered them and has forbidden them, so there is no proof for them in the preordainment and pre-decree. And blame is only upon them. I mean, people on the day of resurrection, people come with sins or with unbelief or with that, with so on and so on. They can't use an excuse in the preordainment and pre-decree. Because their excuse has been totally finished. All excuses finished. The Shaykh said, and blame is only upon them. Since they are the ones who fell short. So they are only held to account for their own actions and their own doings. And as for preordainment and pre-decree, then that is from the business of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And the person sees that he himself has ability. I mean, each of us can see, if he looks at himself, each person can see that he has himself ability and capability. And he sees that he is able to do something or not to do it. And he knows what is good. And he knows what is evil. And he knows, he recognizes what is harmful. And he recognizes what is beneficial. So he is the one who undertakes these matters by his choice, along with his knowledge of them. So then, his having any plea or argument with Allah's, or his having any plea or argument with Allah, the Perfect and Most High, is cut off. It's cut off. Then as for the remaining small part of this chapter, then we leave that till next time, inshallah. The remaining, the last part of this chapter on pre-decree and pre-ordainment, we leave it till next time, inshallah. So this section being a refutation of those people, and how many there are of those people who, when they commit sins and they're corrected, they say, it was Allah preordained it upon me. I can't help it. I can't help committing this sin. Allah preordained it upon me. Allah pre-decreed it upon me. It was written upon me. I can't do anything about it. The section of proof that against that. That is not the way of the believer to say that. Rather, the believer has choice. The believer has ability. The believer chose to commit that sin. He could have not committed it, but he chose to do it. He knows what's good, he knows what's evil, Allah's made it clear to him, but still he committed the sin. Then the blame is upon him. And what's upon the believer is when he does that, when he commits that, to turn in repentance to Allah and ask for his forgiveness. Any points of clarification? Next week's section shall be a quite short section, about two pages and a little bit. We'll take that next time, inshallah, and take the explanation or the summary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullah, as well, inshallah. Thank you.